I invite the congregation to please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, Lord. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling white clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the wise men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
And you may be seated. So. All right. Now, if you don't clap after this one, I'm going to feel really hurt. So. Okay. Well, grace to you and peace from our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's Easter morning. We're all together and our Lord has been resurrected. Life is good. Or is it? I mean, does the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead even really matter? And has anything really changed for the better over the past 2,000 years?
Yes.
Is the world a better place? Is your life constantly filled with joy? And can you honestly say that you've learned to love God by loving your neighbor? And not just your neighbor next door or down the street, but your neighbor who holds a different political view, your neighbor who is at odds with you on any number of social issues, your neighbor who is quick to judge your lifestyle choices, or your neighbor who goes out of their way to cause harm to others, either through physical or emotional acts of violence and terrorism. Because loving your neighbor is by no means easy, as it takes a lot of work, a lot of trust, and a lot of letting go of your own justifications and judgments. But still, this is what Jesus demands and what he commanded his disciples to do at their last meal together. And this command to love wasn't anything new, as for 3 years, everything Jesus had been doing centered around loving people. Centered on helping the poor, healing the sick, and dining with outcasts and known sinners. Centered on bringing good news to those who were being held captive by sin and helping them break the bonds of oppression so that they could find freedom. And centered on all people. And not just the chosen few. Not just Israelites. Not just men. But everyone. And so Jesus, he took the time to be with and love Gentiles, women, and even children, often lifting them up as examples of faith. And Jesus also welcomed the down and out, the lost, the least, and the last, right up to the very end. Right up till his death, when hanging on the cross, he found time to forgive those who would see him dead, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And also forgiving one of the two criminals sentenced to die alongside him with the promise, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Yes, Jesus seemed to offer love and forgiveness to everyone, even Judas, the disciple who betrayed him. Because Jesus showed his love and forgiveness when he washed Judas's feet along with the other disciples. And he showed his love and forgiveness in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine with Judas at the final meal in the upper room. But too many of us like to forget this and tend to believe for some reason Judas was not worthy as the other disciples, or for us for that matter. Well, that's just a wrong way of thinking. As Christ came to forgive and save all people, including Judas and including each of you. But you have to believe. You have to believe that on the cross and through overcoming death, he actually did rise again. You have to believe Jesus was resurrected in order to bring you new life and bring new life for every one of your so-called neighbors. Yes, Jesus was resurrected in a final attempt to show you just how much he loved you and all of creation. And so today we gather to proclaim that he is risen. We gather to give thanks, and we gather to be reminded of God's great love for us. A love so great, God came as the Son to walk amongst us, to forgive us and to show us what true love actually looks like. Now, throughout his life, Jesus made no secret of how his story was going to end. Over and over again, he told his followers he would be handed over to the authorities in Jerusalem and would be crucified. But he also told them that he would live again, that he would rise on the third day. But his disciples selectively forgot this fact, even after he died exactly as he had foretold. In fact, even when the women return with the news that Jesus has risen from the dead, the disciples at first dismiss their claim as idle talk. But idle is sort of a tame and lame translation, as a truer meaning would be garbage, dribble, or BS. So the women come, proclaiming the risen Lord, and they are dismissed. The disciples basically just tell them what they're saying is a lot of crap. Can you imagine? Here these women are basically giving the first post-resurrection sermon. And they're met with criticism and insults. At least at first. But then Peter must have remembered Jesus' words. Because we read then that he runs to the tomb himself, looks inside, sees that it's indeed empty, and then went home amazed at what had happened. And Peter will continue to be amazed, not only in his risen Lord, but also in the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus sends on the day of Pentecost, a day that over 3,000 people came to believe. And that day led to more and more days, more and more converts, and more believers. Now, in our reading from Acts this morning, we heard the tail end of one of the early church's most eye-opening experiences of God's great graciousness and Christ's growing inclusiveness with the conversion of Cornelius and his household by Peter. Here Peter is summing up a newfound and utterly surprising truth when he comes to discover that even this Roman centurion from Caesarea is loved by Christ and so is to be welcomed in full fellowship. And we need to remember this inclusiveness Christ calls us to, and we need to remember that we're all called on to love God by loving our neighbor, whoever our neighbor is and whatever belief system they may adhere to. We must come to embrace our call to be practitioners of outrageous hospitality to everyone, everywhere, no matter who they are or how hard this might be for us at first. It all comes down to love. And isn't that what we all want? To be loved? Now, William Kent Kruger ends one of his books with this thought. The biggest word in the human vocabulary has only four letters and no definition that's ever been adequate. We love our dogs, we love our children, we love God and chocolate cake. We fall in love and fall out of love. We die for love and we kill for love. We can't spend it, we can't eat it when we're starving or drink it when we're dying of thirst. It's no good against the bitter cold of winter, and even a cheap electric fan will do more for you on a hot summer day. But ask most human beings what they value above all else, and five will get you 10. It's love. I think Kruger's on the right track here, as we all want to love and be loved more than anything else. But when we get a love like the love of Christ Jesus and are commanded to pass that love on, we immediately try to qualify and quantify what this means. We immediately try to water it down and modify what this love is supposed to mean for us and in our lives. Well, today I want you to know that this great love is a love that calls you to love beyond your comfort zone. It's a command to love as Christ loves you, and he loves you utterly and completely. In fact, he sacrificed himself in love for you, conquered death and the devil in love for you. And in his death and through his resurrection, he promises to love you for all eternity if you will just take up the challenge to love others unconditionally and believe in him as your Lord and Savior. And so the message of our risen Lord is not rocket science. It's simply that love can and will conquer all. So accept his love and share his love. And in doing this, love will both change you and change the world. Love will change all of us, and then together we can change the world and help usher in the kingdom of God as Jesus always wanted us to. So get out there and start loving a little more. Happy Easter, everyone. Amen.